Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Techsplaining. I'm here with Rob Foster and Mark Rackley. How are you doing, Rob?
Hey, Brett. Mark, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. You had a good week?
Yeah, it's been a good week. It's been kind of a quiet week, but it's been fun. I've been still playing with this bot stuff that we're going to be talking about on the show this week. So it's been a lot of fun. This stuff's fascinating.
Fantastic.
Oh, and right now I've actually got 3 racks of ribs on the big green egg. So I'm really hoping this is a fast intro.
Well, you know, that's the important stuff, right?
Yeah.
So quickly before we jump into the interview, what are you doing with bots? And maybe do a quick introduction to the listeners. Tell them, you know, what you mean by bots in case they don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so what we're looking at here is, and the topic of the show this week is chatbots, and it's really a way to increase efficiencies by using things like natural language processing, a lot of the artificial intelligence stuff that's going on now that Microsoft has a lot of it in Azure. I think Google's got some things, Facebook's got some things. There's a bunch of vendors that has capabilities around this, but what it does is it really increases efficiency through your applications, or maybe it's a service you provide, to where you can be more engaging with your people without having them call help desk or have them accomplish a task very easily by essentially feeling like they're talking to somebody. So a bot would be an example bot would be something like maybe you have a chat bot that helps your people book airline reservations and hotels and things like that, so that you would hit it up and say, hey, I would like to travel to New York City on September 20th, and I'm going to be there for 4 days. And then it would respond with, well, would you like to fly first class or coach? And would you like to stay in the Marriott and things like that? And then it would automatically book those things for you. So that's really kind of the idea behind chatbots is providing a more, I guess, a human type interface into helping your people become more efficient. And that's,
yeah.
I gave the example of typing to it, but there's also the whole Siri style where you can talk to it as well.
Yeah. And most people listening have probably dealt with chatbots and not even known it. Like whenever you go to a support page on a lot of websites and do the chat for support, I would say a majority of the time you're actually chatting with one of these chatbots and not a real person.
Well, that was the whole thing behind the Ashley Madison website, right? Was that they had a bunch of people signed up to this, and essentially all of the females on the site were a bunch of chatbots that were talking to guys. So that's a fascinating technology.
Did you ask for your money back?
I am not listed on the emails.
Just kidding. You may want to edit that out or, you know, whatever.
No.
We're keeping that in.
But it just goes to show how far you can take it. And one of the things that I'm sure AC, I haven't listened to his interview part yet, so I'm excited to hear it. But one of the things that I see is that there's a couple of pieces to the chatbots, right? There's the understanding what your user wants to do, right? So taking that natural language processing and saying, okay, hey, Rob wants to book a flight, or Rob wants to, do this or that. And then actually the code that actually goes and does that, right? So it's more of there's kind of two pieces to this puzzle. It's what is your user trying to do? And then you still have to write the code if you don't have it already to actually go and do that. So that's kind of something that I wasn't expecting there. Was that second piece?
And you know, you have to, again, you know your audience too. One of my friends, an older gentleman on Facebook, was ranting a few weeks ago about how rude people are these days and how inconsiderate they are. Because he got a sales call, from someone saying, oh, sorry, I had to adjust my headset. So, you know, a lot of you guys probably had that same exact phone call. But this was a chatbot trying to sell him some vacation stuff, and he didn't know it. And so the bot asked how he was doing, and he said, not well. You know, my wife's, you know, she's got cancer. And the bot responded, that's wonderful.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he was just so offended by that. And I had to explain to him that that wasn't a real person, that that was a chatbot that he was actually talking to, but he was really upset by it.
I can see why. I mean, that's the, because if you almost have to, and that's one thing that I've been really impressed with these bots is that they start to learn. And a lot of the engines that help you understand what your users are trying to do, they're obviously, you can get them so far, but they're going to get better over time. So the thing about this whole artificial intelligence thing is that it learns. And if you have people trying to do things in different ways, you can also train it to do that based on what they're trying to do. So it's really cool. And it sounds like they needed to, if you respond with "my wife's got cancer," you need to train that, not to say "wonderful."
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fascinating though, that the technology is really intuitive as well. And I was expecting it to be somewhat difficult to use and train, but I've got to say, I'm totally impressed. I mean, if I can do it, pretty much anybody can do it, and that's a fact.
Well, I think we've definitely got to make sure that all the chatbots out there are trained to understand that my ribs are burning.
Yes. Yes.
So on that note, Mark, do you want to interview? I mean, where were you when you were speaking with Andrew Connell this week?
Yeah, so this past week I was in Seattle with a bunch of other SharePoint geeks, and we were at the SP Fest conference there. And so I had the chance to sit down and talk to Andrew Connell, who's been friends with all of us for many years now, and we put up with him for the most part. But I know that he's taken an interest in the whole AI chatbot technology. And so we sat down, and I asked him some questions that Rob came up with most of the questions, because I wasn't even sure what to ask. I'm really new at this stuff, so it's really fascinating for me to learn about. We sat down for a bit, and he was gracious enough to answer our questions and just give us a lot of great information.
Fantastic. Well, should we take a listen?
Sure, let's listen. I'm excited to hear what I said. Here I am in beautiful, smoky, and humid Seattle at SP Fest with my good buddy Andrew Connell. And today we're going to be talking about AI and just kind of seeing what's going on with that. You know, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, AC, and then why these people should care about us talking to you? And
cool. Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Mark. So Andrew Connell, I guess most people might, if they're familiar with me, they know me from like the SharePoint development stuff. SharePoint developer for the last, 14, 15 years, SharePoint MVP, or Office Servers and Services Development MVP. Co-host another podcast called the Microsoft Cloud Show with Chris Johnson. We've been doing that for about almost 4 years now. And I've also got a training, building an online video course right now about developing with the SharePoint framework. And that'll be out sometime, I don't know, be out soon. That's going to be for... be out through my company, Voitanos, just voitanos.io. And I'm looking, I mean, spend a little bit more time looking at the AI stuff these days, and it's really cool what Microsoft is doing. It's really cool what everybody's doing, but Microsoft's offering is particularly interesting. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Yeah,
rambling on with my intro, sorry about that.
Hey, we'll ramble through the whole thing, so I'm not worried about it at all. So, I guess to those who don't really understand what AI is from the purposes of our conversation, right? Because that made me think of like the movie AI, where robots are going to take over the world.
Yeah.
What exactly in our world, in the current world technology, is AI, and why would you look into using it?
Cool. Okay. Yeah. So AI stands for artificial intelligence, and you got a bunch of people that are investing a lot of time into this space between Microsoft and their offering of cognitive services and cognitive toolkit and a bunch of other services that we'll get into. Google's doing their stuff. People might have heard of something called TensorFlow and the work that they're doing there, and their associated app, the Google Assistant, which is like Microsoft's Cortana or Apple's Siri. Apple's got their stuff, whatever, as well. It goes with Siri, and there's some other stuff that's out there. But I think that, you know, what in the context of what people look at, you know, when you first start thinking about AI, you kind of, I think most people kind of gravitate first to thinking, you know, robots are taking over the world, or you think to like the Terminator series of movies, and where robots take over and kind of decide to fight back on man. And I mean, there are some pretty far-fetched, you know, scenarios that people have been able to achieve with that stuff. But really, it's a very sophisticated mathematic formulas and models that you're constantly training. And so really what we're doing is we're coming up with algorithms that you end up giving the computer and then giving it a ton of samples, and then the computer can learn from those samples to make better decisions going forward for different things. So that's generally what it is. Kind of make, like, you can look at a tweet and say, what's the sentiment analysis on this tweet? Is it a negative tweet? Because you can tell based on the harshness of the language, or based on the color of the language, or specific keywords, if it's a negative tweet, or if it's a positive tweet, or something like that. So that's where, like, that's kind of how people are using AI today. Or how, like, I guess the broad sense is using AI. Same thing with, like, looking at images and pictures and stuff, and saying, being able to detect certain things inside of an image based on certain characteristics, and the computer can look at it and say, oh, I think that's a ball. And it's like, no, it's not really a ball, it's a circle. And the computer's like, well, internally you think this isn't what's really happening. The computer's like, I can't tell that that's a ball. Why is that not a ball? And so it gets a couple pictures and it's like, well, I think that with 60% confidence, this is a ball. And I think that with this other, you know, picture, it's 80% confidence it's a ball. And you go to that 60% confident one and you say, that's not a ball. Kind of sounds like the hot dog or not hot dog.
Yeah, it does.
But what that does is that allows the computer to look at more data points in that image and say, okay, those extra data points are telling me that it's not a ball, it's something else, so that the next time I make a judgment call, it's something better. There's some good examples around that from stuff that Microsoft has done.
Right. So, like, what advantages would the ordinary company get from looking into AI? I mean, why would I use it, and how would I use it? How would I start to think about integrating it today?
Yeah, so let's look at a couple different things. Like, we have a mutual friend that's got a company that where they update pictures and profiles inside of Active Directory and profiles. So some companies say would want to. So this is a real world example of how they're using it. When you take a picture and you want to upload it to your profile, an organization may want to make sure that there are not specific things in that image, right? So, you know, things like nudity, things like, you know, maybe words aren't in the image. They don't want to go through and have, like, you know, text up there. They're looking for a mugshot. They're looking for your picture. They want to make sure there's not multiple people in there. And so what they've done is that you can do, like, a face detection thing, and you can say, when it's looking for a face on the picture, it knows the data points around where are the eyes generally, where is the nose, where is the mouth, where are the ears. And there's specific, you know, things where you can tell that when you look at the difference in contrast around, like, lips or around eyes or around your ears, the imaging stuff that, like, say that Microsoft has in their vision stuff, they can look and pinpoint those different things. And so when you kind of take the picture away, you're left with, like, a wireframe picture. And then it can compare the data points where those data points are in that picture and say, oh, look, I actually found that that's a face, but I actually found four more faces in this picture. And the company said only one face. So I'm going to kick back and say, this is not a valid picture because it doesn't meet one of our guidelines. Or, again, inappropriate stuff that's in there. So say if it's nudity, it can detect that I see different, you know, contrast around certain elements of the human body and say, that's not supposed to be on there. That's most likely a X. We don't need to go there, but but that's something that, you know, that's not supposed to be in that picture. And I think that with a reasonable sense of confidence or a reasonable degree of confidence that that's not a legit picture. That shouldn't be used there. So it might be right, it might be wrong, but it's all, like, it's kind of done the same way, like, you see in movies about, like, the CIA and stuff like that, and they say, you know, they don't talk in absolutes, they talk in a degree of confidence. So I'm 80% certain, or I'm 90% certain, but I'm never 100% certain.
Interesting. So doing things like face detection, so are the things like on the Xbox, the sensor, I forget the name of it.
Yeah, Kinect.
Is the Kinect considered AI, or?
You can think about it. I don't know if it uses it, but, I mean, you can... Well, let's make it up because we're not Xbox engineers. Right. So, let's just say that's what it does. It looks at it and it can tell, like, in my house, my son, Steven, my daughter, Catherine, myself, when I walk in and it looks at it, it can see it's the picture of the entire room. It can see it's looking at that picture and trying to find faces or finding movement.
Right.
And when it finds me with movement, it looks at me and looks at my face and says, and it's looking at different characteristics about me. that are different. My face is similar to other faces. So it's like, I know that's a face, but then it knows, hey, here's certain things about Andrew's face that I know that's probably Andrew. Or it can detect it based on height or maybe eye color or based on hair. And so it can look at that stuff. It's called artificial intelligence. You're giving the computer lots of data points to be able to make a decision or a more informed decision, but not necessarily saying that the computer is learning per se. It's the more data you give it, that's how it learns. That's how it gets more examples to figure out, this is who I think it is. If I only registered myself on my Xbox and my wife walked in and she didn't have an account, nor my son or my daughter, when the Xbox turns on and they're in there, it's probably going to detect that, hey, you're Andrew, because that's the only person I know about. So I don't know about it being anybody else.
So then, just for the purposes of definition, then it really can't be considered AI unless there's learning involved.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I couldn't be in. I don't want to say that because I wouldn't consider myself like an expert on that side, and so there's probably somebody who's like an expert on AI that's like, no, I want to make sure that you know I do this right and everything. So
I guess the thing for me is, again, I'm one of those people who think AI, and I do think of sentience, right?
Yeah.
It has, you know, it's got consciousness. So
sure.
I really, being able to define it for people who aren't used to thinking about it, I was thinking, what types of things do we use every day that might be considered AI? That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's another one for you. And this is a real world one today. So actually, I'll give you two real world ones. These are good examples. So one of them, another one around pictures. So Microsoft released a service called the Vision service. If you want to, we can get into more detail about how their offering looks. But they have a service called a Vision service that you can take pictures, upload it to the service, and then you go tag those pictures. And their Vision service can look at those pictures and it can find characteristics about that picture, color, size, shape, different shapes on the image, stuff like that, to be able to distinguish what it is. I told it that was a picture of a fish or a particular fish. So what I did, I guess keep or raise, I'm going to call it, a certain kind of tropical fish called an African cichlid. And I took about 10 pictures of cichlids from a picture book that I have in my office, of the male and the female version of these different cichlids. Like, that's a Rostratus, that's an Azarius, that's a Lemon Lab, that's a, you know, whatever, that's an Ali. And I then went, and so I tagged all those in the service. And then I went to my fish tank and I took two or three pictures with my phone and I uploaded it. And the Vision service came back and said, with an 80% confidence, I think that's an Ali. With a 60% confidence, I think that's a Rostratus, because the fish was kind of angled a little bit and it wasn't flat on. And I went back and looked at it and said, of that one that was a 60% confidence, I said, that is a Rostratus. And so the AI engine, the Vision API engine, looked at that, took that data point, kind of meshed it together with the other one that said that, you know, these different data points are what I'm looking for a Rostratus. And so I took another picture of the fish and it came back and said, now with an 88% confidence, I think that's a Rostratus, because it had more data points to play with.
Gotcha.
Or look at it with like the way that Microsoft does the bot framework stuff, where, you know, they've got a language service the same way, where you can do that same thing and you can give it different elements of, when someone says, you know, what is the weather today? Or there's, you know, you could say that, but you may have a different way to do it. Right. You know, what is the weather right now? Tell me the weather. How's the weather look? Stuff like that. And so you're looking for different, what's the temperature like today? What's it going to be like today? All of those things. Are you asking about weather? Yeah, you think you are. So you give it those different elements, and then it can, their language service can look at that text coming in and say, oh, well, Andrew told me all these different utterances and they all kind of map to the same intent. And we can pull things out of that sentence and say, like, oh, look, that's an entity, weather. Or what's the weather like in Seattle? Oh, he said weather and he said Seattle. So he's asking for weather in Seattle. I can go pull that up and show it to him.
Okay, great. So, yeah, so that kind of leads into another big topic, I think, for where things are headed is bots, right? Mm-hmm. I know things like Teams, they're talking about there's like a bot interface in the Teams. And so if we go into this bot technology that Microsoft has, is it... how is that, you know, hosted? How is that all tied together? I mean, how would I go about and start taking advantage of that for my business?
Sure. So first and foremost, all this stuff is hosted. This is not like an on-prem kind of thing. It doesn't run on your phone. It doesn't run. I mean, there may be elements of it that can run on your phone, but the AI engine, the service is all run in the cloud. And the reason for that is because it's intensive compute that needs to happen. Yeah. So the way Microsoft does it, I'm not as familiar with how Google does it, but the way what Microsoft has done is, Google's kind of the same way with TensorFlow and their stuff. On the Microsoft side, they have a thing called the Cognitive Toolkit. And the Cognitive Toolkit is like a really low-level API for doing things with artificial intelligence and providing it, you build a algorithm in a model, and then you start feeding it data elements on how to go through and to use that data coming in. But it's kind of a generic thing. Microsoft then goes through and has also created some services on top of that cognitive toolkit that they call cognitive services, and that's things like the vision service. That's things like the language service or the language language understanding integration service, I think is what it is. But stuff like that. Now, when I want to go through and use it, then I generally am going to go to Azure and I'm going to create a new instance of one of these different services like Lewis or whatever. And some of them have kind of like a facade around them where they have their own website where you can go do it there. But under the covers, it's all living in Azure. Okay. Then you're given, sometimes you're given, like in the case of Lewis, you're given a web-based interface where you can go in and create your intents, you create your entities that are in those intents, you tell it what things I want to get done, and then you are going to write the code to talk to provide things into Lewis, and Lewis is going to pass things back to you that you can use. So I'm going to take some text and I'm going to give it to Lewis, and Lewis is going to kick back and say, looking for the weather for Seattle. So I write the code, or I use an existing service that says, go give me the code for the weather for Seattle. I give it back to Lewis or whatever thing I'm using, like a bot framework, and then I can take advantage of that in my stuff. So like what bot framework allows us to do, and that's part of their AI story, is it gives us different ways to interact with our service. So a bot is really just a web service, if you think about it like that. It allows us to have like a channel to Skype or to Slack or to email or to text or whatever. So it's going to call, it's going to allow us to have that channel coming in. It can take, you can then in your web service that you use for the bot framework, you can call out to Lewis, get some information back, and then hand that back through the bot framework, hand that back to the user on whatever channel they're on. So you're taking advantage of this AI service. It's kind of, you're taking different services and kind of mashing them together to use it. Think about the way you do development in Azure today, right? You need a database. You're going to get a service to go through and give you a database. You're going to need a place to host your website. You're going to need a place for authentication. That was Azure AD. That was an Azure website. And then that was a SQL Azure database or an Azure SQL database, Azure SQL, whatever it is, one of those things.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound like you need any special skills then to start using this.
No, you don't. I mean, they've made it to consume the services that they've provided. They make it very easy for the people like you and me who are not high-end, nerdy. Well, maybe we're pretty nerdy, but like really low-level data scientists who understand how to build these neural nets on these algorithms. I know how to upload some images and tag them and let it figure out what the smarts are to how to go through and do all that stuff. Like, it's kind of like when I go to Delta's website to book a flight from where I'm from to Seattle, I say I want to go from Jacksonville, Florida to Seattle, and something behind the scenes figures out that I can get on this plane to jump on this plane with this kind of a connection, and that all is going to work. And could I do all that myself? Probably, but that's kind of complicated to look at the entire flight map and say, okay, I need to get to Seattle. I want to get to Seattle by this time. So that means I have to get to Atlanta by this time. So let me figure out what flights are available from Jacksonville to get to Atlanta in that time with enough thing of a break in between. Delta figures out all for us. Similar kind of a concept.
Okay. So you just have to worry about the beginning and the end. And,
yeah.
And it takes care of all the middle for you.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So then how would you use bots then with your current channels within Office 365, let's say, if you want to use it for Skype or Facebook or Teams, like what would be a real use case scenario for a bot today?
So think about it like this. So let's say that, I was in like Skype or Messenger or any of these different channels where I can just type some text. I say, I want to send an email to Mark or send an email. Let me change that. I'm going to take a scenario that a friend of mine, I just saw a friend of mine show to me. He said, and the voice recognition stuff picked up when he typed it in and put it in his text on Teams. He said, find some time for Mark and I to meet. Find 30 minutes for Mark and I to meet in the next few days. And my bot goes in, looks at it and says, let me look at, I know I have some context. I know this is Andrew. So let me go look at Andrew's, use the Graph API to go find the people that Andrew interacts with most whose name is Mark. And then let me find other Marks that are in his contact list. And let me give him a list of those and say, which Mark are you talking about? And so then I get this little kind of message coming back from me on Teams. I'm scrolling through it and I see a couple buttons there and I see, oh, look, it's Mark Rackley. So then I say, I want Mark Rackley. And it says, okay. And it goes back and it connects to your calendar if it has access to it. It connects to my calendar and it finds time between on the next few days. But it also has some logic in it saying, I want to make sure that, you know, I see that Mark is in, like, you think of the context of Microsoft where they have, you know, all these buildings all over the place. Andrew's in building 2. Mark is in building 33. I know that those are X distance apart from each other. We can't put them in adjacent meetings. So we got to give them at least 15 minutes difference between the two meetings. And then I'll go find a room that's close to them that they can both take advantage of where it's going to be. Maybe I ask more questions. Maybe I don't. Maybe I just go there and make some assumptions. And then the bot goes through and says, hey, I found time on Wednesday at 9:30 in the morning from 9:30 to 10 in Mark's building, or meeting in Mark's office. Does this work for you? I'll say, yes, it does. And then it goes through and schedules it, creates an invite for both of us. So that's a concept of how it would work. It's using, that case, I guess we're using AI from Microsoft because we're using the bot framework.
Right.
So bot framework is one of their AI stories. The other things we're using, though, we're using things like Graph to do that. We're using things like the calendar aspect of Graph,
yeah.
the contact. So that's one example of how you could use it today.
Okay.
Yeah. The concept, like doing it in SharePoint, some things I've seen are like, when someone goes through and uploads a document, you can look at the document, kind of scan it, try and find things that are maybe not legit in there. Like maybe I don't want to allow there any PII information to show up inside of SharePoint. So I could look at every document that's uploaded and find things that look like social security numbers or certain pictures that have negative things or questionable material in the pictures. Stuff like that. There's a lot of things you could do like that.
So here's my idea for a bot. You can tell me if it's a bad idea.
Okay.
Okay. And I know you will because... So, you know, we're seeing an explosion in the use of Teams right now.
Yep.
Especially for things like projects.
Okay.
Spin up a Teams for this project, a team for this project. So you could theoretically have a bot running in your Teams. So when someone's having a conversation in Teams, they're saying, hey, I'm working on this issue. That bot could detect that they type the word issue and it could pop up and let's just say, hey, I noticed you may be having an issue. Do you want to log an issue in your actual issues list? And then kind of step into the process to make sure they get the metadata that would then log that issue somewhere else, maybe in a different SharePoint site, a centralized SharePoint site for housing your issues. And then you'd be able to do reporting on all your issues across multiple projects from people having conversations and just talking about issues they're having.
Absolutely. I mean, that's definitely a case you could end up doing that. You could use it there. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I think it makes a lot of sense.
So I had a good idea.
Yeah, you had a good idea. Of course you did.
Okay.
You have many good ideas.
Yeah. I'll pay you later.
Yeah, you talk a little bit about the bot framework. I mean, I'd be remiss to if I didn't mention. So, you know, on our podcast, we're in the midst of doing a series, a 4-episode series on artificial intelligence. We sat down with some of the people at Microsoft, and we did one episode where it was kind of like the overall of what AI was all about. We did one very recently that's about just the bot framework, and then we have 2 more episodes that are coming out in the next month or so. That are going to go into the 2 other pillars. Their AI story is founded on 3 different pillars, and bot framework is just one of them. So, yeah. So if you want more information, like I talked to the guy that owns the bot framework. We can go pretty low level on that side, and you can see a lot more of like what's available to you and everything. I do something. Here's another example of one that I want to go build.
Okay.
One of the things that I do is I take when I find certain links when I find. Things that I think that are interesting or related to like the SharePoint framework. So I take those and I put them into Pocket. I don't know if you're familiar with that service, like a link saving service. Okay. And I tag it with a certain thing. I then have use Zapier that watches my Pocket and sees anything that has a specific tag on it. If it finds it, it pulls it out and it sticks it into a Google Sheet, into a row on a Google Sheet. I have another Zap that watches that list coming, that item being added to the row, and it takes it out, it runs it through a series of irregular expressions and does string replacement or addition to stuff. So if it finds the word SharePoint framework, the words SharePoint framework or SPFX or SP framework, with spaces, without spaces, any of that kind of stuff. If it sees any of that stuff, it goes in, takes that string out, replaces it with at SharePoint and then framework, and then also makes sure that the tag, the hashtag SPFX is on there, rewrites that to to another column on the sheet, and then it puts a little true or false thing on there, says, has it been queued up? I then go in once a week, I go look at it. And then some of this too, it actually does it automatically by looking at different people's blogs. So I watch your blog, I watch Wallet MasterCard's Microsoft blog, the dev team at Microsoft's blog, the PMP feed from YouTube. I watch all those things, and so that sheet keeps filling up, and then I go back in once a week, and I just mark that column as true or false if I want to be queued. If it gets marked as true, another Zap gets fired off and adds it to buffer for my Voitano's Twitter handle so I can see different sources coming out. So it's almost like a curated list of stuff.
It's awesome.
But it's doing a lot of that stuff manually for me. I'd love to do it as a bot framework, right, as a bot to do it, so it kicks a message to me in Slack and says, how does this look? We retweet, we massage this link. Do you want to go through and add this to the queue? Yes. So, sure. Something like that.
The most amazing thing I found out about that was that you actually look at my blogs.
So. Of course I do.
So what about analytics, right? More and more analytics are becoming what people really care about, mm-hmm. For their businesses, so they can know how much this stuff's being utilized, how it's being utilized.
Yep.
Is there anything there? How would you do analytics around all this stuff?
Microsoft's answer is with Azure Application Insights, App Insights. Bot Framework has a thing where you can just get right into the bot, where you can hook up App Insights with the bot that you've built, and you can see how people are using it. Things like with Bot Framework, you also can get, they have a thing called, I think it's called QA Maker, and so it allows you to just have like a FAQ, like a frequently asked questions, and you point the QA Maker over to the FAQ, and it can read the questions, and it can pull the answers out, and you can then provide other alternative questions to the same answer, so that if someone's asking, again, the weather thing, it knows how to go through and give you an answer based on how it's coming in. But it also allows you to download the entire log of all the questions people have asked it. And so then you can see where the hits and the misses are. You can see, you can add stuff to your FAQ. You can even replay it to see how, if you get a better hit and miss thing, to see like, you know, are the changes that we made, are they going to be caught by this new thing? Are we actually making an improvement, or are those changes that we made, are they not going to help us? So it's cool because it's logging all of that stuff and you can replay it. But how things are used, how things are working, hits and misses, App Insights is how Microsoft is going to tell you how to do all this stuff.
Very cool.
Google does the same kind of thing. Microsoft's got the whole cognitive toolkit, and then they've got cognitive services on top of it. Google's got something called TensorFlow, which is kind of like their version. This is their version of, I don't want to say their version, but it's like their competitor to Cognitive Toolkit. And then their services are all named different things. So like you've got like the assistant, you've got a vision service, you've got a video service, stuff like that.
Okay. Would you say that there's a clear company that's ahead right now in AI, or?
I don't think it would be responsible for me to say that there is somebody that's ahead, because I don't have enough knowledge. I don't know enough about the entire playing field to say who's ahead. What I can say is that I think that generally it looks like the community is, Google gets a little more attention to this stuff just because they were first to it. They started doing it first, and that's what a lot of people are. They always kind of like flock to what Google's doing, and they don't think as much about Microsoft doing this stuff off the bat. So I don't know on that respect. I've seen a lot of stuff that shows that the Cognitive Toolkit is more powerful than TensorFlow, but then a lot of people say that TensorFlow, I've seen a lot of stuff that shows the exact opposite. So I think it's a lot of, it depends. The cool thing is that Microsoft has a very compelling offering. Google has a very compelling offering. To me, I love seeing that. because what that does is it means that they're going to continue to fight each other and compete. Right. And we benefit from that stuff. When there's no competition, it doesn't help.
Absolutely.
So it's nice when there's competition out there to really see those kinds of things to help, to let us, you know, see where people are actually moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. So one of the last things I want to talk about around AI is, did you read the article, I guess, a couple weeks ago about Facebook's their chatbots that created their own language?
Yeah.
And so they actually shut down the bots because they were freaking out about it?
Yeah. And it was, I mean, I think that was part the media over-sensationalized.
They would never do that.
Well, they over-sensationalized actually what was going on. And, I mean, I think it was the bots started, I think what I understood from the article was that they had two different systems that were communicating with each other, and they didn't, you can say they formed their own language, but then I think that everybody that reads the article, when you hear that, you think that all of a sudden it starts throwing ones and zeros at each other, and you're like, oh, we have no idea what they're saying to each other, but they're clearly communicating. It wasn't like that. They were modifying the phrases that they were saying back and forth to each other to make things more efficient and to cut things out. And I think that what scared them or whatever, they just like, we don't know how to stop this from, didn't know how to stop it from happening. This is an interesting area because there's a lot of, it's really contentious. So there's another thing out there called the OpenAI, not a framework. I don't know, it might be a framework, but OpenAI is a thing that Elon Musk is behind, among a bunch of other people. And like Elon's got this,
he's got a fear of AI, doesn't he?
Well, it's not a fear. I was trying to think of the right word to say here. It's not a fear, but I think he's guarded about it. And he says, you know, we need to be careful about this because we could definitely do some stuff that's really bad. I mean, if you look at it if you let a machine start making decisions that are just black and white decisions, you know, next thing you know, it's like going, well, it's more efficient if we just kill this person or pull the plug on this person because it's going to cost more to deal with them with healthcare. And it's like, no, there's a human element to that.
Right. Then with the self-driving cars, do you swerve to miss the kid and kill yourself and hit her into a tree? I mean, that's like,
Yeah, that's a great example. And his attitude is he would like to see a bit more regulation around it. There was that whole thing that came up, then kind of had a bit where I think it was right before that happened. Mark Zuckerberg for Facebook was doing some video, and he's like, "These people that are like doomsday sayers are ignorant or whatever." He goes, "It's just ridiculous." And then Elon comes back and says, "I've talked to Mark about this. His understanding of AI is limited." And they had a little tiff going back and forth. It's pretty funny watching that go back and forth, like two brilliant minds. But I mean, I would be surprised. I'd be surprised if we did really see something where two bots were like, you know, kind of, they broke away. They were able, two systems were able to completely break away and do stuff all on their own. But then again, I mean, it's so much stuff is happening with this in such a rapid pace that, I mean, it may be possible in the next, I was going to say a few years, but a few months maybe. Who knows? We've seen some pretty cool stuff, the demos that Microsoft has shown and what Google has shown. So it's pretty, it's an interesting space, really interesting space.
Very cool. So if our listeners wanted to get started, learn more, just get their heads wrapped around this, do you have any suggestions they should do?
Yeah, I would go, I think the Microsoft story, well, I'm assuming that you wanted the Microsoft story. I can't speak too much to the Google story, but I would go look at, the bot framework, I think botframework.com is where you go for Microsoft stuff. And then from there they have a higher level thing for artificial intelligence. And I forget that link off the top of my head, but if you go to botframework.com, that'll start you out. And from there you can spider web your way through it. You know what, actually it might be if you go to microsoft.com/cognitive services is where it has a list of all the different services they have to offer. You'd be surprised. It's almost like, it's like something like 18 or 25 or something like that. It's a ridiculous number of services. There's also some cool stuff if you want to take a look at what you can really do with bots. There's a series of four videos that a guy named James Carpenter did from a company called Zomato on Channel 9. And it's all about bot framework, and it shows like an insurance bot and how you can get on Skype and you can interact with this bot on trying to buy insurance and adding it to an existing policy, putting your daughter on the policy, uploading a picture of a car. Is this your car? Yes, it is. Wait, you said it was a Ford Taurus. That doesn't look like a Ford Taurus. So stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Well, again, thank you for joining us today. And again, if everybody wants to listen to your podcast, it's the Microsoft Cloud Show.
Microsoft Cloud Show, yeah.
You guys post weekly on iTunes. I guess they can find you. How would they find you?
Best place to go find us is on iTunes. Okay. Yeah, go on iTunes and do it. We're also on the Google Play Store for the two people on a Windows Phone. We are on the Windows Phone Store or Windows Phone, whatever. But iTunes and Google Play Store is out there. Or just go MicrosoftCloudShow.com or at MS Cloud Show on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. You can find our shows. Weekly episodes come out where we focus on the Microsoft Intelligent Cloud, Office 365, Azure, AI, and then the competitive landscape as well. And you can find me, just I'm at Andrew Connell on Twitter. And
Yeah, you love to get emails, so feel free to send him an email and ask questions, and he'll get back to you at some point.
That's why I didn't give my email out.
Well, thanks again, AC.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark.
Talk to you soon.
Well, thanks, Andrew, for interviewing with the show. You're always a friend of all of us, and it's always good to catch up with you and hear some great information from whatever you're working on. It's always something cool, so thank you for that. Brett, Mark, what do you say?
It was a pleasure, and thanks also to Andrew Connell. It's certainly going to be a fantastic episode, and I really appreciate your support in this.
Yeah, thanks, AC. Appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing you. And for everybody listening, I think Brett, Rob, are you guys going to be at Ignite? People can come say hi to us.
I am going to be at Ignite.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, and I guess I should say that Stephanie wasn't able to join us this week. She had some things she had to do. So all of us will be at Ignite. Maybe you guys can come stop by and say hi to us.
I probably won't be at Ignite, but
I'll get you there. We'll figure it out.
we'll have Mark speak in a British accent for you.
Oh yeah, brilliant! That would be
That'll
brilliant.
Do just fine. And you can eat some ham instead of bacon.
No, yeah. We'll not do that.
No. That's where we draw the line.
Right. Yeah. Let's not go crazy there. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, I guess it's been great to catch up, and until next time, for everybody listening, you're listening to Techsplaining.